Log Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber Chat, on March 14th, 2014. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at www.manhattanbeachchamber.com. That's manhattanbeachchamber.com. Or call 310-545-5313. That's 310-545-5313. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show, or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great, and I understand that you're very relaxed as well.
I'm very relaxed.
Yes, and very relaxing yesterday. That's wonderful. So we are, this is our second show, very exciting, Manhattan Beach Chamber Chat, and on Fridays at 8 a.m., and we're hopeful that lots of people will join us and bring their friends and neighbors and find out what's going on in the world of business in the South Bay in general and Manhattan Beach in particular. Who's our guest today?
Well, I just should mention, today we're getting into the nuts and bolts of this show, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Our guest this morning is Liz Griggs. Liz is the general manager of the Manhattan Village Shopping Center and has been in the mall business since 1984. She also sits on the board of directors for the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce and is co-chair of the Manhattan Beach Economic Development Committee. The EDC works with the chamber on some of the initiatives they are currently working on within the city. In addition, her committee will be helping the chamber host the Economic Forum and Legislative Luncheon, which is going to be happening later this summer. Welcome to the program, Liz. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's nice to be here with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us. And as I said, this is our second Manhattan Beach Chamber Chat show. We're looking forward to many more. And we want to help the general public and, of course, help members understand the resources that they have within the Manhattan Beach Chamber, and one of those resources that is there planning and taking input from the membership is the Economic Development Committee, and so we're really pleased to have the chairwoman here. Do you prefer chairman or chairwoman?
I actually co-chair the committee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Isela Buenadad, she's with the Bank of Manhattan, and myself, we work together to co-chair the committee. And we've got a great group of committee members that join us every month for our meetings and help with the idea creation and implementation of the efforts that we're doing.
Right.
We've got Margot Thol from the Manhattan Beach Ed Foundation, Maureen McBride from Tabula Rasa, which is a local business downtown. We've got Kelly Stroman, she's with the Downtown Business Association, Martin Eisenberg with the Citizens Bank, Citizens Business Bank, and Linda McGolfin-Fiegel from Pages. So we have a very diverse group of people that are on the committee, people that care and understand the importance of economic development. And so we're very excited to have a group of people. And what's nice is I think more of the members are starting to see and understand the importance of economic development and the efforts that we're trying to make and are wanting to get more and more involved.
Now,
so we do welcome more committee members to join us all the time.
Oh, excellent. And now committee members to join would have to be members of the chamber, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
Liz, we talk about economic development, but let's start with the very basics. Can you define economic development in terms of how the committee looks at it?
Yeah, well, the committee really looks at the committee as the arm for the chamber. So basically, we serve the Chamber of Commerce, their members, the City of Manhattan Beach, and the residents as their economic development arm. You know, we're the engine that's driving economic development. And I'm not sure that people really understand what that means.
Right.
And what really the committee is trying to do is trying to bring value, trying to bring goods and services and jobs and tax revenue into the city to make the city a more vibrant and economically independent a city. And as the committee, we've basically identified three different initiatives that we focus on, economic development being one of them. The second one is business advocacy. And then the third one is really kind of the business district collaboration, because there are so many different business districts within the city of Manhattan Beach. And so we want to be the unified force that brings them together and represents all the business districts.
Okay, that's good.
I got a quick question, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Liz, does the committee actively recruit business to come to Manhattan Beach?
Well, I think within each of the business districts, you know, we do unto ourselves. I think that, you know, obviously being in the shopping center, we're very active in trying to bring great, unique well-funded businesses into the city of Manhattan Beach, and I think downtown does their efforts in there because we're organized and collaborated, and I think that's why we've got such a good, strong representation from both of those entities. But one of the things that the committee is trying to do on the business development end of it is we are reaching out, we're going to trade shows, we're going to trade shows to try to attract business groups and visitor organizations to come and bring businesses to the hotels. And, you know, we work with the shuttle to bring people in from the airport to bring people into town. So there are a lot of efforts that we do to bring business into the city. And really there's different levels of business because, you know, from one standpoint is you've got a business that's going to come in and open. So you're trying to do a tenant attraction. So there's that end of it. And I know the Chamber is planning to attend the ICSC, which is the International Council of Shopping Centers, to try to bring in some national retailers into the city, you know, particularly along the Sepulveda corridor where we've got some vacancies that have been sitting there for quite some time. So there are different things that they're doing. We're going to travel our trade shows and bringing groups in to fill hotel rooms because with the TOT tax, that brings more sales tax, helps the hotel operators, helps the restaurants and the retail shops. So they, you know, they're actively out trying to bring those businesses in.
Keeping the wheels oiled.
Yeah. Well, it's important because it's multifaceted.
Yes.
Well, this is an important and I think an interesting tack to take is that many people travel the Sepulveda corridor and they see these same vacancies that you're speaking of. Can you describe a particular location that's vacant now that the Economic Development Committee is working to find a suitable tenant to help, along with obviously the landowner to find a suitable tenant for that?
Well, I think we've got some vacant car dealer locations down at the south end of the Sepulveda corridor in Manhattan Beach that
yes.
has been sitting there, and there's vacant lots associated with that. So I think there's a couple of them. One of them has been under active ownership, and they've cycled through different versions of car dealer operators coming through there, and I think we're looking at Power right now.
Right.
But I do think that there are some vacancies in that area that could be used by a strong, viable user that would bring a need to the city.
That's a tough one when the auto industry is in transition. In some cases, we're thinking like on the east side of the street, it was Vasek Polak, right? That
yes.
Had a few places there. Those are occupied now. And then on the west side of the street, of course, where Power is located now, it was a Mercedes-Benz dealership. It was a couple of things, and then they just couldn't quite make it last.
Right.
That's a tough one. What about locations like, I know there's this location right across from Target that has had a great history. It used to be for 20 years, I think it was Kentucky Fried Chicken, very stable, popular local spot, and then when they left, there was a series of food places in there that just seemed to not be able to get a good sort of strong foothold.
Yeah, I think that anytime you when parking becomes a challenge,
right.
It becomes very, very difficult for businesses to survive and thrive.
Right.
And I think that, you know, when you're looking at rent structures in Manhattan Beach and you're looking at what it takes to be able to support that kind of a rent structure, you have to have the parking.
Right.
And with Sepulveda being such a busy, active corridor, a lot of the parking is in the rear. It's not visibly and easily accessible to the consumer.
Right.
So it has some challenges with that. So parking needs to be, you know, first and foremost on everybody's mind when they're, you know, as a business owner and I think also as a landowner and I think as a city, you
right.
need to be able to provide parking for the customers.
Very difficult location. I actually know that location very well. I loved the last business that was there, Hot Dogger. I loved their food and their menu and so forth. Great.
Liz, I just have to warn you, Joe is going to reference every fast food place on that corridor.
Okay? Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, and it kind of gets to your point about, you know, businesses that are able to come in, because a lot of people really talk about local operators and the uniqueness of our community.
Right.
And one of the things that is really great about Manhattan Beach, and particularly in downtown and along the Sepulveda Corridor, there is a lot of local business owners in Manhattan Beach, and a lot of them live here.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really a very unique situation that we have here, because we do have a lot of local owners that live in the city that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it really helps the local character of the community, but it's also the quality of the character. Because when you have a local business owner, you have somebody who is invested financially into their business, but you also have a business owner that is personally and emotionally invested into the community. And so I think that is a unique situation that provides a business community about people who care. These people care about their business, they care about their neighbors, they care about their customers because they live in Manhattan Beach. And those people care about the nonprofits, they care about their causes.
Mm-hmm.
They have a social responsibility as a local business owner, and they give and they support. They support each other as business owners. So I think that is something that is really important, and I think that as a business organization, we truly value that because it makes a difference. When you have a local business owner, and there's statistics out there and research that shows that when you have a local business owner that runs their business, it's basically 73% of every dollar that is generated from that business stays within that local community. And when you compare that to a national organization that comes in, it drops down to 43%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really it pays it forward in back into the community versus having it go outside the community.
Right, right.
We were talking last week's show about how people that lived here that worked elsewhere, they might have a job up on the west side or downtown or Century City or something,
right.
and they eventually figure out, why don't I, I should open a business here. That way I don't have the stress of the commute and all that other stuff. And we talked about several of them last week. But this is the first time I'm actually thinking about what you said, Liz, is that people don't commute here to work necessarily. It's the opposite, right?
Right.
Historically, the South Bay has been a bedroom community of Los Angeles. So people lived here and they worked elsewhere. And now what you're talking about is people are living here and working here, and we don't necessarily have people coming from other places to here, so it adds a much more personal community feeling to it,
right.
Which I never thought of before.
Yeah, no, it's an important, and kind of getting back to the hot dogger story, because
yes.
Consumers, we're an interesting group because we like things to be unique and individualistic, but on the other hand, we also like to have that brand name, that known entity, the quality. So there is a value to having the national brand or the national retailer or whatever the organization is that you're dealing with, because there is a corporation that stands behind it. There's a philosophy. There's a customer satisfaction, there's return policies, there's a lot of things that national brands bring into the mix, and it's nice to have the complement of both, the local unique, but also the dependable, reliable national organization that supports that. So it's really a matter of having a blend of those uses, because consumers like dependability. They like the known entity. They like to know that if they go to a store, they can expect to find what they're looking for. If they can't, they expect, or if they're not happy with it, they expect to be able to return it. So there are certain things that national brand tenants bring, the quality of the product or whatever the service is. There is value to that.
Right.
As well. So it's really a matter of having the mix of the national and local retailers. And we really look at the Sepulveda Corridor, particularly the mall here, as a mix where we have a lot of the national tenants here in the mall. We've got the strength of those organizations. I mean, look at Macy's as an entity unto themselves. They're, they're nationwide. They spend huge amounts of money on advertising and promoting their business. I mean, I get a mailer probably twice a week from Macy's. But it's a great retailer. They're very sales-driven. They do what they can to target you as a consumer and bring you in. And that's important from a foot traffic generation standpoint. So national tenants bring their own strengths as a partner in our business community.
It's wonderful. And actually, we haven't even, in your capacity as the general manager of the Manhattan Village Shopping Center, we haven't actually touched on probably one of the largest economic development initiatives in the city that's really being talked about, and that's the renovation of the Manhattan Village Mall. We'd love to talk about that a little bit, but we're here to talk about the Economic Development Committee. I want to ask you about business districts. Can you just describe in broad strokes where the general business districts are in Manhattan Beach? I know that most people that are familiar with Manhattan will know, but just for others, just to give them an idea of how many different unique areas there are here in Manhattan Beach.
Right. Well, we really look at, as far as, major retail districts, of course, we've got our cute, adorable, charming Downtown Business Association. That is just a wonderful amenity to the city. It's a draw, it's attraction, local residents and visitors to the area. Mm-hmm. It's a place that they want to go, they want to be seen, they want to buy their gift. So you've got the Downtown Business District, and that is just, brings a lot of the local charm that we have to the city of Manhattan Beach. Then we've got the North Manhattan, which is at the north end of the Highland Corridor there.
Right.
And that's, a very quaint, You know, all run and owned by small business owners, a great group of people that run those businesses down there with Bernadette and Steve and Harry. You know, it's a very tight-knit group of businesses, and it's highly supported by the locals that live in Manhattan Beach, and you also have the visitors to the area, you know, and they might cross-shop or, you know, between the Sharkies and, you know, with all the yoga establishments down in that area, and it's really has a very nice little feel to the area. And parking is, of course, an issue in North Manhattan. Well, I think it is in all of Manhattan Beach. And, you know, we do have the parking structure down there, and there's been a great partnership with verandas and being able to provide parking down there. So all those collaborations really help with the parking situation there. And then, of course, you've got the Sepulveda Corridor, which is where the mall falls into that entity there, which basically runs through Manhattan Beach on the Sepulveda Corridor.
Right.
Then we've got Rosecrans, which takes you down into the Lido, Cafe Rio, Bristol Farms, Massage Envy, and that shopping center down in through there. So those we really look as being the key retailers. And then, you know, there is, you know, with Trader Joe's down on Manhattan Beach Boulevard, down by Aviation, there's, you know, there's some businesses that are clustered in through there. But those, I think, basically look at the different districts that we have in Manhattan Beach.
The it's very exciting when we talk about the different areas. I mean, one of the most vibrant areas, I think, we actually have two Trader Joe's, and then, you know, the Trader Joe's on the Rosecrans corridor is also near Borders Bookstore. There's REI. That shopping center mall area there is very exciting.
Exactly.
And wonderful addition, Lido's. I think, you know, I remember when they first came in to the area, and it was such a wonderful addition to the Manhattan Beach experience, shopping experience. And we don't think of the El Segundo Plaza as a part of the Manhattan Beach venue, because it's not in Manhattan Beach technically. But oh my goodness. You know, with the Salt Creek Grill, and, you know, a huge, beautiful anchor. Where's my favorite place? It's
Lululemon.
I guess I'm trying to think of Whole Foods.
Right. Well, for me, it's PetSmart. You know, I've got a child, and she loves pets, and so we go to the PetSmart all the time. I mean, you know, it has been a great addition. I think it's really improved the quality of lives for the people that live in Manhattan Beach, because, you know, for me as a pet owner, you know, I used to have to go either to the other side of the 405 to go to the pet store or go down to Redondo Beach.
Right.
And now that within minutes of my home, I don't have to do that. And, you know, I think a lot of that really gets back to, you know, there's a principle out there. It's called smart growth. Mm-hmm. And it's really about using the infrastructure that you have, trying to have that mix of uses that service the community, minimizing the need to travel outside of your city to shop and get your basic needs. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are in place, you know, with smart growth, you know, trying to have more walkable, bike-friendly environments. So there's a lot of things that the cities are doing, the Planning Commission is looking at in trying to be smart about how we develop the city of Manhattan Beach and how we manage the growth and redevelopment of the city. So the Planning Commission is very involved with steering that.
That's wonderful.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about the different business districts. You know, that Rosecrans corridor leads you right into Upper Manhattan. You know, the Rosecrans corridor feeds Upper Manhattan. And then Upper Manhattan feeds into downtown. You know what I mean? It's like there's a...
Are you referring to North Manhattan?
Yes, yeah, North Manhattan. wait, we never figured this out. What are we calling it? It's no longer El Porto, it's Upper Manhattan.
It's North Manhattan.
North Manhattan, okay.
Well, I think El Porto will always be El Porto.
Of course, yes.
Particularly with the surf community,
right.
You know, I mean, that's inbred into the beach community. So I don't think we'll ever be able to change El Porto from El Porto, at least right. for the people who grew up here. I didn't grow up here. I've lived here for a long time. But, I mean, it's part of the culture. But
right.
I do think that the reference of North Manhattan does encompass El Porto, but we're not trying to take El Porto away from El Porto.
you can't do that. No.
It's a surf spot. It's an icon in the surf culture, and it's, you know, highly recognized. People travel to El Porto to surf, and so it's a known attraction for that purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
We are so blessed here in the South Bay to be a destination, and there is a very cohesive feel to all of the business districts that you mentioned, Liz. It's very familiar. There's some tremendous advantages, and there's some tremendous development going on. Can you speak a little bit about the development going on at the Manhattan Village Mall? It's a very popular subject.
It is. I really, at this point, really want to just talk a little bit about economic development and basically the business tax and all the income that the businesses bring into the city of Manhattan Beach. Because the city of Manhattan Beach has a general fund of about $58 million, of which $15.5 million of that, which is about 33%, comes from the businesses. So whether it's business licenses, business taxes, sales tax, so 33% of the income that goes into run our city comes from the local businesses. And, you know, when you really sit there and you think about that alone, it's important that people understand that as a resident and as a community member, we need to support our local businesses and the businesses that are within our city, because it helps pay for police, fire, road paving, and just the maintenance and well-being of our city. And one of the big goals of the chamber is to help try to close that leakage gap. Because the residents in Manhattan Beach collectively have about a $900 million fund that we have to spend on goods and services. And today, the city is capturing about $500 million of that. So there's about $400 million that are actually leaving our city and being spent elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it would be pretty lofty to think that we could capture all of that. But even if we could try to reduce the amount of spending that leaves our city, even by a percent or two or three or four, you know, it would help. It helps retain that money within our city.
Mm-hmm.
Because for every dollar that's spent in the city of Manhattan Beach, the city gets to keep 1% of that. So it doesn't 1% doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about 4 million leaving, if we could keep 1% of that, it becomes a significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a big initiative on the table right now. It's Shop Manhattan, and basically it's one way that we try to keep people to shop locally. And it's basically a paradigm shift. You know, what can we do to change people's minds or get people to think a little bit more consciously about where they spend their money? You know, if I have the opportunity and I'm up, let's say, on the west side for work, and I go to Culver City and I go to the White House Black Market store there,
mm-hmm.
versus, you know what, I've got a White House Black Market in my own city. You know, you have a decision. Could you buy it there? Could you buy it in your own city? You know, where are you going to spend your money? Because the city of Manhattan Beach wants and needs the tax money in our city. So if you can buy locally, you can think consciously about where you're spending your money, because people have choices. And if you choose to shop locally, that's great. And I know there's a movement going on across the country. It's basically, you know, local first. And, you know, our initiative, we're labeling it Shop Manhattan. And really, when you shop locally, you're supporting the unique and local businesses that bring character and quality of character to the businesses in your city. Mm-hmm. You are, you know, there's an environmental impact because you're not driving to go outside the city. You're staying locally. You're spending less money on gas. And you're also helping support new jobs and the employers, the local business owners or business owners. You're keeping jobs within the city. The nonprofit groups, they receive greater support because it's known that local nonprofits are supported by local businesses. And so it's a social thing because it's a social responsibility. I think you get better customer service. Mm-hmm. Local businesses, they invest in their community. We talked a little bit about that earlier, not just financially, but emotionally and personally, they're invested in the community. And I think that the public benefits far outweigh the public cost because local businesses require little infrastructure and more efficiently utilize public services rather than chain stores. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we've got competition and diversity leading to better choices. So if our businesses are doing better, we can attract better businesses. So it helps stimulate the business attraction. And I think that when your businesses are doing well, you get better investment. Banks and organizations and other people are investing back into the community. So those are really some of the initiatives behind the Buy Manhattan. And so that's really something that we're going to be looking to launch in the next year is a big initiative to try to create a paradigm shift within the mindset of our community members to, you know what, support your local businesses, buy local.
Buy local.
Right.
We're hearing that all over the country, and that's
it
a is. Beautiful, wonderful thing. We're having a great time here on the Manhattan Beach Chamber Chat with Liz Griggs, on the Manhattan Beach Economic Development Committee, and also General Manager of the Manhattan Village Shopping Center. So we'll be right back with Liz. If you'd like to call in and ask a question or have a comment, please do call in at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to talk to you and take your comment or question. At this time, what we'd like to do is to thank a sponsor. Jackie, who do we want to thank today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PB, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it. Whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer, the partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
Excellent. Okay. So, Liz, we've covered a lot of topics already today. It's been wonderful talking with you. Are there any things that we have left unsaid? We've talked about some vacancies, the business districts, which is really wonderful. I love doing that. The business advocacy that the Economic Development Committee does. Have we talked about that?
No, we really haven't. But it is definitely as the business advocacy is that we are able to, as an organization, to help protect the interest of business owners in the city. And so we are creating an economic development task force where we will actually go out and talk to the different business districts and the owners in those districts and kind of address some of the issues that are top of mind for them and that are affecting their business and try to establish things that we've learned from them that can help improve their business, you know, by identifying challenges, you know, what could we do to help them operate and grow their business. And sometimes when you're a single business owner, you feel like you're alone, you feel like you just have to live with it. And so we want to be a group that provides support for those businesses. And a lot of that may be you need to have the community support, or there's an awareness issue, or there's a voice to deal with the city officials. So it's really something that we are looking to develop this economic task force as a business advocate to really speak to the business owners, identify those issues, and try to help them, you know, work through their issues.
Right.
So as part of the business advocacy end of it, too, we're also hosting our legislative luncheon, which will be in fourth quarter, closer to the election month. And really what that does is we're able to identify initiatives that are on the ballot, and try to look at things that are occurring right now that are affecting the businesses. I mean, I think everybody, whether you're a resident or a business owner, the water drought, you know, we're all looking at what the price of water is doing, how we're using it, and what can we do as business owners to be respectful and be mindful of the water usage. You know, so there's things like that. I think we've all been affected by the Southern California Edison and the aging infrastructure. So, you know, we want to help be a voice and try to get in front of Southern California Edison and understand what they're doing and raise the issue, because it's expensive. If you're losing your power during a Friday night during your dinner business, you can't even run your credit card to have the bill paid.
Right.
So it's those kinds of things. You know, as a group, we can get in front of the utility companies and the organizations that can help try to identify, address, and steer the need where it's needed.
Liz, we have a caller. I'm not sure if this is James or someone else from the community, so I'd like to bring them in. Caller, last four digits, 0284. You're on the air.
Hi,
hello.
This is James, actually. Hello.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good. How are you guys this morning?
Good. James O'Callaghan, CEO of the what is your official title, James?
President and CEO.
President and CEO. I got one of them right, of the Manhattan Beach Chamber. Thank you for joining us. We were just talking about business advocacy, and I'll direct this to you, James, for a brief moment. One of the things that really comes to mind when I think of business advocacy is really some business owners need help to understand how to be less of a, as described by a friend of mine, just less of a captive of their own business, how to organize their business in different ways so that they can be more profitable, be less of a captive, understanding lots of issues, whether it's taxes or employment issues, employment law, whatever that may be. How can the chamber help? I know the chamber can't provide those services directly, but how can the chamber help marry a business with the resources that are available?
Well, as I'm sure Liz spoke to, we've done a lot of seminars over the last couple of years on various aspects of how to help your business grow and operate. So that's one way, is just bringing speakers out that can actually talk to the different issues. And then after those sessions, they get to spend time with the individual members as well. But on top of that, a lot of what we do is really connecting one-on-one. So if somebody has a particular business need, it's making sure that we bring together one of our other members or a partner that can help them develop that need as well.
I see. Liz, I know that you have some events coming up. Can you talk a little bit about things that are going to be coming up in the near future?
Yeah, in the summertime, we'll be hosting our economic forum. The date has not been finalized at this point, but we've got a pretty exciting agenda that we're putting together, changing face of retail in the South Bay. It's a pretty pertinent topic as to what's happening not only in Manhattan Beach, but in the South Bay area. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is in the fall, we will have our legislative luncheon in the fall, and hopefully we'll be able to cover some of the topics that are pertinent to the upcoming election and have some of our candidates available to present themselves and their positions on certain items.
What, Liz, what are the, do you know what the major offices that are going to be up for election will be here in the Manhattan Beach area?
Well, I do know that we have Amy Howarth, our mayor, who is going to be running for state senate. So that is very exciting.
Yeah.
And I think we've got a couple seats on the council. I'm not as well versed as maybe James is. So James, do you want to answer that one?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Actually, this is kind of a pretty exciting time of year for us. We actually have almost all of our elected positions up for office right now. We have, as Liz had stated, the state senate race, the seat formerly held by Ted Lieu, is up for election. Amy Howarth will be running for that, so that's great. We also have the state assembly seat here. We have Al Marasucci, who's the current assembly member, running against David Hadley here in that district. And then we also have our congressional seat, the seat formerly held by Henry Waxman, that is up for election, and Ted Lieu is running in that seat along with Wendy Gruhl and a number of other folks as well.
Wow.
We're going to be busy.
Yes, pretty much all of your local elected.
Very busy.
We're going to be very busy.
Wonderful. Well, We have had a wonderful discussion with Liz on a wide-ranging list of topics, and we've talked a lot about the Economic Development Committee. Liz, we have talked about a lot of issues. Have we left anything out that you'd like to cover?
No, I think as far as the Economic Development Committee, I think we've covered them. And,
yes.
You know, as you had mentioned earlier, the mall is the Manhattan Village Enhancement Project is a big topic right now. We've been through a series of 7 Planning Commission meetings, and I think we're going on to our 8th City Council meeting coming up on April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we have a great plan in place that will enhance the project. It'll add a new outdoor shopping component to it, and the idea is to provide ample parking in convenient places where people want to park.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are hoping to have a vote on April 15th, and so we encourage people to attend, send letters to City Council supporting the project. So that's where we are with the project at this point.
Okay.
There is an exhibit on display in the center court near the fountain that has renderings and maps and illustrations. And, of course, our office, we're here Monday through Friday, so if anybody has any questions, we can answer any questions they have about the redevelopment. But we're very excited and really are looking forward to a 2015 start date with a favorable vote from City Council.
Excellent.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. It's really, the plan has evolved really due to a lot of community input from different groups and organizations and neighbors that live around the property. And I think in the time that I've been on the property, there's been dramatic changes, and I think it's just made it a better project.
Mm-hmm. I know that, Liz, that you've been in the shopping center mall industry for many years, and if you look at the Manhattan Village Mall now as it stands today, it looks very much like malls designed, you know, in less favorable climates like Chicago. I mean, it would be acceptable in terms of people go indoors. There's an indoor experience. It's all indoors. But of course, we live in California. And there's a big trend towards the sort of indoor-outdoor experience in California because our weather is so great most of the year. And it's wonderful to see that happening here in Manhattan Beach. This is a huge, huge kudo to all of the people involved. And it's wonderful that you can be here at this time.
It is very exciting. You know, being a local resident and living in Manhattan Beach in the South Bay since 1990, it is just, you know, having seen the project in 1990 when I first moved here and having seen the evolution over that time, and then to be here to bring the outdoor experience. And, you know, Manhattan Beach is a dynamic city. It's full of dynamic, active people. And I think that, you know, a lot of the efforts that are being made on the project is bringing the outdoor component to it, which makes complete sense because of the nature of our community and the people who live here. But the other aspect of it, we've worked really hard with the city and with the Bike Coalition to really try to connect project to Manhattan Beach. We're really trying to activate the Veterans Parkway, which is that lower level parking lot between the shopping center and Fry's, really trying to activate that. We want to enhance the connectivity from Veterans Parkway up into the center. So for bicycle, for pedestrians, right now it's really not conducive. You have to, you know, there's one set of stairs, and we'll be adding a road and ramps and stairwells to enhance that connectivity. And it kind of gets back to that smart growth philosophy of, and the vitality city of creating walkable cities and bike-friendly cities so that people don't have to get in their cars. They don't have to drive. So, you know, there's a lot of things like that that we're doing to make the experience better for people who come here and for people who live here.
Right, right. Well, that's wonderful. That's great. We're looking forward to seeing that, too. That area there, it's Veterans Parkway.
Yes.
You can walk from there to almost any point in Manhattan Beach and not cross a major road and not cross Sepulveda, and most people don't know about that unless you're a jogger or, you know, some other person that has used that underpass there. But it's very convenient for that.
What underpass?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah, there is, if you take, I mean, basically Veterans Parkway goes from Rosecrans and, you know, by the Fry's, and if you walk on that, the Greenbelt, it'll take you all the way down to, South Hermosa Redondo Beach.
Right.
So, you know, anybody who wanted to ride their bike or walk or jog can get on that Greenbelt and go straight to the mall.
Right. Right.
That's why I love this job. I learn something every day.
without crossing Sepulveda, which is really, really key.
And especially for people of all ages. You know, if you're an elderly person and you like to walk and, you know, the intensity of the traffic, or if you're a teen, you know, or a parent of a teen, I mean, it's a safe to acceptable means of getting to the other side.
Right.
And as part of the Bike Coalition, we have established a bike path that will basically go to Rosecrans behind the mall to Village Drive. So the mall will eventually become an acceptable bike path for people wanting to, whether you're going to go to Ralph's or go anyplace else.
Yeah.
So it's really a nice amenity.
Well, Liz, you've been an amazing, wonderful guest. We're not quite sure what we're calling it yet, but we want to give James, or he will designate someone in the future at times, a chance to talk about upcoming events for the chamber in toto. So, James, can you give us a little sort of a synopsis of things that are happening in the chamber in the main, in the large?
Absolutely. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some pretty exciting things going on. We have on March 19th, so next week, we have our chamber orientation. So we want to make sure everybody in the community, whether you're a member, non-member, long-term member, come down to the Joslyn Center at 8 a.m. We'll have a two-hour session there where you get to learn a little bit about the chamber, what we do, how we operate. But on top of that, you'll get to meet the people who make the chamber. So all of the committees, there'll be a number of the board of directors there. We'll have everybody there so you can actually get a chance to talk one-on-one with them and understand what their roles are, how to get more involved, or if there's particular items you want to see the chamber take up, that might be a good opportunity for you to speak about those as well. So we look forward to having people out for that. Then, as Liz had alluded to earlier, we are going to launch our Economic Development Task Force either the second or third Thursday in April. We're working with the city and obviously the committee to find a date that makes sense. And then we have to partner with the local businesses to get them on board and scheduled to have these meetings. And then April 25th is our South Bay Business Leader Summit, as we talked about a little bit last week. You know, we have Gwen Shotwell from SpaceX that's going to be our keynote speaker there. We have a lot of other great speakers and panels set up. So we look forward to having everybody out to the Marriott.
That is so exciting.
On April 25th.
That is so exciting.
Oh, it should be a great event. And that's kind of, you know, we also have, we encourage you to check out our website on a regular basis and update on committee meetings and get involved with not only the Economic Development Committee, but we also have a lot of other great committees, the ambassadors, and we're about to launch an entrepreneurial committee. So.
Wow. Wow.
I want to hear about Shamrocked, James. Did you go last night?
I did. We had a great time. Last night we were at Manhattan Beach Toyota, so we want to thank Daryl and his team there. They put on a great party, and we were provided with some great food by Hennessy's as well, so we had some great Irish bites. On top of that, OB's Bar and Grill down here in the North End also helped sponsor some libations for the group as well. And, you know, just overall had a great time. About 50, 60 people showed up, some good music by Vox DJs. We got a little Irish music mixed in with some U2 for those who didn't want to hear traditional Irish music. You still had an Irish band playing. So it was a great time for everybody.
Sounds like fun. Getting ready for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a little teaser for the leading into the weekend, so.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, thank you, James, for that. I'm not sure if we're not going to call that the President's Corner. We'll just call it what we've called it before, upcoming events at the end of the show every Friday. And also I want to remind people that this show is an ongoing effort by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce to connect with the community, to provide a forum and an outlet for information. So you can depend on this show being here every Friday at 8 a.m. On Blog Talk Radio. And you can also find the show through southbaybyjackie.com. You can always find it there and listen in. And we're looking forward to future shows providing the community with an up-close and personal view of their Chamber of Commerce. It belongs to the people, and there's something for everyone. And and the economic or the entrepreneur committee, that's the one that I'm interested in following. I love that nexus point where people are beginning a business, just starting. Just opening the door. That's almost the most exciting point for me that day that I can imagine. It's so exciting. So wonderful. Thank you so much, James O'Callaghan, President and CEO, and Liz Griggs, Manhattan Beach Economic Development Committee Chair. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us, and have a great day.
We look forward to the day. Liz, I want to give you the last word. We want to know that we've covered every subject that you wanted to cover. Are we good to go?
Yeah, I think we've touched on a lot of great things that the Economic Development Committee is doing and the value that the Chamber brings to the city of Manhattan Beach. And we've touched on Manhattan Village Mall.
Right.
And I think I really appreciate this opportunity to share what the Chamber is doing.
Right. Well, we hope to have you back on a regular basis whenever the Economic Development Committee is having an event. We'd love to have you back, if only for a few minutes, just to connect with the committee, and we hope to connect with the other major committees in the chamber as well, and provide them a forum to get that information out there. When I know it, you deliberate with your other committee members every month, and it seems like you're deliberating, you know, in a vacuum. Sometimes you're not connecting with the members. Members don't know what you're doing, but now we're going to make sure they do, and it's right front and center, and that we're excited about that.
Well, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And let's get the contact information.
Yes. Liz, do you have contact information specifically for the Economic Development Committee that members can connect with and ask questions or voice concerns?
My office number here is 310-426-6313. And James, do you want to give the chamber number one more time?
Absolutely. The chamber number is 310-545-5313. And for those who prefer not to call, you can actually email the office at info@manhattanbeachchamber.net, and we'll get the information there as well and forward it on to Liz and the team.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, we'll remember that. info@manhattanbeachchamber.net. It is .net, yes.
I just would like to thank Isela Buenadad from the Bank of Manhattan for co-chairing the committee with me, and to all of our committee members who giving their time and their energy and their creativity and in helping to bring such a great committee and program to the chamber.
And let's point out that this is, again, all volunteer, right?
That's correct.
Everybody's working on their own time, on their own dime.
That's correct.
Right. Wonderful.
To that point, I'd like to really acknowledge that, you know, this chamber is so blessed to have leaders like Liz and Isela that, you know, take up the charge. And, I mean, it was their energy and passion that brought the Economic Development Committee back to its feet and have driven it forward. So I appreciate having people like that on our team.
Well,
the whole South Bay appreciates it.
Well, we look forward to covering it. This is a great environment and a great opportunity. The South Bay Show is proud to partner with the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce to bring these things to light and give it an airing and a good coverage. So we're excited. All right. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next Friday. Bye-bye now. And, of course, don't forget the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Hermosa Beach tomorrow. Don't forget that. It starts at 11. Get your seats early. Bye-bye now.